It's Friday, and you are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am most Fridays, with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger, except I am not with Father Adam Streitenberger this morning. Father Adam is at the Millennial Church Conference, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. And Father Adam was tasked with finding a sub-host for him today, someone to co-host with me. And because, as we all know, Father Adam is an overachiever, I am sitting here across from Bishop Robert Brennan. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you today.
This is big.
Well, actually, you know how he approached me. I stood you people up.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention it.
No, you didn't. You don't have to. I will. I stood you up. I mixed up times and all kinds of things when I was in Rome for the Ad Limiter, and I goofed. So he said, "Well, there is a way to make it up."
So he guilted you
he
into
did.
It.
Oh, he did.
Wow,
he didn't have
guilt.
To. He didn't have to. Okay. I would jump at this, but. But he did.
Well, we have a lot to cover today, so why don't we pray with our listeners, Bishop, and then we'll get going.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, you look upon us with love, and you bring us together as your people. We thank you for those gifts. We thank you for all those who are joining us today by way of St. Gabriel Radio, and we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us, upon our families, and upon all those whom we will encounter this day. Lord God, help us to know your will, to love your will, and to do your will, so that all people may be drawn to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, let's talk about where Father Adam is. He's at the Millennial Church Conference. What is that? Bishop Brennan, what do you know about that? Anything?
Well, as you know, part of his work in evangelization is catching that fire with the millennial generation. And that involves speaking, of course, to the millennial generation, but more importantly involves listening. And so this is really an encounter, a chance for a conversation, for understanding. And so he's put a lot of work into this day, and it should be a great day. It's a rich, full day. Something I'm grateful for, that it's a long day.
and it's not for millennials, correct?
It's for it's for ministers of the church who are encountering the millennials so that, you know, we can speak with a certain amount of credibility and relevance.
And actually, our priest of the week this morning, Father Chris Yackel, he is going to be, when we talk to him in a few minutes, we'll be talking to him from the parking lot of St. Matthew. He's going to the conference. So I think it's going to be well attended. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I just have to give a quick update to our regular listeners. It was big news that I was going to the jungle last week. Last week, Father Adam and Jenna just kept saying, Katie's in the jungle. She's in the jungle. So we've been doing some air quotes jungle training with my son, Jackson, who really, truly thinks he's going to live in the jungle. So Costa Rica was sort of our testing ground. And as it turns out, we're going to need a little more training. swinging on a vine is harder than it looks. And we weren't quite prepared for the boa constrictor and pit viper that we saw.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's physical training, but we're going to need a little education too. So we'll continue our jungle training.
Does he still have the desire to live in the jungle?
He does. He's got a little more trepidation.
Okay.
But yes, so we have some more work ahead of us. But it's an excuse to go back to Costa Rica. So I don't know when that'll happen, but it was beautiful. Praise God. We said a dozen times a day, how do people not believe in God? It's just so beautiful. So we're glad to be back. I do have to say, in case anyone's concerned, Father Adam and I are not having a fight. We haven't been together on the air in a few weeks, but it's just been scheduling issues. Yeah. So
he and I were in Phoenix around the New Year.
I know. And that was...
Right. Then you were away. So, yes, it's just been scheduling.
It's just been scheduling. We're good. Everything's fine. And then, Bishop Brennan, I met someone this past week who is claiming full responsibility for your awesomeness.
Yes.
Do you know who it is?
I do. I do. But tell me the circumstances. Where were you?
Believe it or not, as Providence would have it, I was at the convocation for all of the priests of the Diocese of Charleston, the only diocese in South Carolina.
Yep.
Yes. And I got to chat with their bishop for a minute. And I said, oh, you're from New York? Perhaps you know our bishop. And he got this smirk on his face. And I said, oh, clearly yes. You do know him.
So. He was actually my advisor in the seminary.
That's what he said. Yeah. Yes. So I love how small the Catholic world is.
And remains a good friend. He's a wonderful priest and bishop. Yes.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, another quick update. We've been promoting the Catholic Man of the Year, and he has been chosen, and you have the honor of presenting the award to him coming up on Friday, February 7th. Did you know this is on your schedule?
I do know it's on my schedule.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I will be there.
But I feel like we should tell our listeners about Dr. Raymond Sheridan of Grove City, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Oh, my goodness. I read his achievements and wonder
the point in my face. I wasn't sure if that was out yet. I didn't know if it was announced.
Well, it was in the Times.
What can I say? Oh, well, that's right. It was in the Times. You get lost when you see so many things so many times. You sometimes say, am I allowed to say that yet?
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. I wish, radio audience, you could have seen Bishop Brennan's face when I started to I thought, what am I doing here? Dr. Raymond Sheridan. He's a dentist in Grove City. He, just to give a really brief overview, if you want the full story, read the Times, but he does teachings in low-income schools about how to floss, and he gives how to brush and floss, and gives toothbrushes, toothpaste, floss. He spends a week every year in the Dominican Republic performing dental work for people in need. He is involved in an organization called Asia's Hope, which is a Columbus-based organization. I didn't know about this organization. We're going to have somebody from Asia's Hope on the program. Short version, they've adopted a Cambodian orphanage, and they visit it each year, bringing gifts and building relations with the children. Bicycles, mattresses, a van to provide transportation. This is a really beautiful organization. And then he's also been involved in various parish men's ministries, and they go to homeless shelters. And as people come out of the shelter, they give them sandwiches and talk to them about other ways they can be of assistance. So that's the tip of the iceberg. Dr. Raymond Sheridan, Catholic Man of the Year, seems like a very worthy recipient of that.
Isn't that great? Congratulations.
Award. Yes. Congratulations. Yes. What have you been up to this week, Bishop Brennan?
Well, this week was, the last 2 weeks have really been more catch-up weeks between Christmas, the Ad Limina earlier in December, and the conference for Focus. I've been on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. So these last 2 weeks has been an opportunity to catch up on individual meetings and appointments. I did have a chance. I was invited to I heard you talking earlier about on the radio about Fisher Catholic, and I was at Fisher Catholic for the basketball game, Fisher Catholic Newark, and it was a fun game, and it was great to pray with both teams after. That's one of the beautiful things about our Catholic schools, right? That we can compete, we can even get a little frustrated when we lose, we can feel a little proud when we win, but in the end, we can also come together and pray and remember what it's really all about. So I was able to do that. I was in a couple of the local parishes around the city this weekend. I've been going far and wide, but this weekend I was in Holy Cross and St. Aloysius, and early on Saturday I was out in Washington Courthouse, so getting to a few of the parishes, and it's all been a lot of fun.
Now, do you have your schedule in your head, or do you just wake up every morning and they tell you where you're going to go?
I'm constantly checking it.
Oh, my goodness.
I have an idea, but I really do have to check it continually, and I have to check it each day. Where am I today? Where am I tomorrow?
And when you go to sporting events between two Catholic schools, do you sit on one side of the gym for the first half and the second side of the
gym?
How does that work?
I do. I have to be impartial. And so I, with the football games, yes, that's, I move back and forth and I'm talking. This time, actually, it was a little bit late by the time I got there because I was coming from something. But the principal of Fisher Catholic and Father Ty Thompson met me, and believe it or not, we stood in the center.
I thought you were going to say they grabbed you and pulled you to their side.
No, I stood in the center.
Oh, okay.
During the playoffs, it was a little bit easier because I could go and I could root for the Catholic school.
That's right.
Although I'm looking out there and I'm saying, well, I probably confirmed a few people on the other team.
That's true. That's true.
You know, they're
all local. Now, Father Adam typically does traffic and weather at this point in the day. He's an expert. He's a meteorological expert and apparently a traffic expert. Do you want to give a traffic and weather report? Or?
Well, I'm happy to, but somebody's going to have to. I can tell you the weather. It's cold.
Okay. And then why don't you, for traffic, why don't you tell us how your drive-in this morning
was? Is that what it is? Oh, okay. Well, my drive-in was just wonderful.
Well, there you go.
One thing, I was coming away from downtown, so it was an easy drive. And it was just as the sky was brightening, it was a beautiful morning. But yeah, weather, it's been kind of on the warm side, hasn't it?
Yes.
And a little bit, we've been having the dampness. But today, I don't mind cold. Today, it's just glorious. It really is. Funny, when we were in Phoenix, Arizona, it was actually warmer here in Columbus and back in New York than it was down in Phoenix
Which
when we first arrived.
So depressing when you think, oh, we're going to Phoenix. It's going to be nice. And then.
And I was with the Bishop of Fargo, North Dakota, and he at one point, and I just said, yeah, because it's chilly down here. And he says, don't talk to me about chilly.
Well, there you have it, listeners, traffic and weather. You know what? You do not need to call and thank us for our thoroughness, our professionalism. We know. We know that you appreciate the service.
You see, I really thought I was going to get a traffic report.
Well, you were, but then I dropped the ball. So
oh, okay.
There you have it. Okay, and how about this day? Wait, you actually do need to save Father Adam's tagline.
Okay, so our traffic and weather today has been brought to you this week by St. Anthony of the Desert. Winter weather have you feeling blue, overwhelmed by the temptations and busyness of life? Call on St. Anthony of Egypt. And we'll have more to say about him a little later,
I think. Yes, we will. I'm pretty proud of that myself. And then remember to drive safely.
Oh, yes, please. Remember, please drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
He's good.
Isn't that true, though? I have to say.
Yes.
St. Gabriel Radio, when I it used to be the Knights of Columbus, the Holy Family, but when I was in
Keep
New York.
Keep Christ in Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you'd be driving, and then all of a sudden you'd see that, and you'd say, oh.
How about Keep Christ on the road?
And you realize, I have to be really nice here.
And in
sometimes
New York,
you want to, like, pull ahead or something, and you realize, oh, that wouldn't be a good idea.
There might be a different standard, too, in New York.
Well, anyway, I shouldn't say this while people are listening to us on the road, but some of my friends from New York have referred to traffic here in Ohio as Rush Minute.
That's true. That's right. It's great.
Things are a lot better here, I'll tell you.
So, Father Adam, look out. Bishop Brennan is coming for you with his expert traffic and weather.
I say nothing.
All right. And today is January 17th. What do we have this day in Catholic history, Bishop
Brennan?
Well,
you provided me with some great fun facts. 395, Theodosius I died, the Roman Emperor of the East and the sole Emperor of both the East and the West. In vigorous suppression of paganism and Arianism, he established the creed of the Council of Nicaea as the universal norm for Christian orthodoxy.
That's big.
It is big on a number of levels. We're going to come in against Arianism a lot today, I think, but with all the different occurrences. But yes, when Theodosius died, his sons took over the East and the West. And so he was the last emperor of both the East and the West. So from there on, the Roman Empire stopped. But basically, this is the Council of Nicaea in 325 established the creed we say every Sunday, and it's very precise. And these words were really thought about,
and each was a response to a heresy, right?
Right.
A clarification
and trying to clarify. People were trying to define, and sometimes they were malicious, sometimes they were well meaning, but they were trying to describe who Christ was. And so Arianism, basically, they were saying Jesus is a really good guy, a very moral guy, a great teacher, a great model. He's almost like God. I'm like, whoa, no, that's not what we say. That's not what we believe at all. He is truly God. Truly
God. We take that for granted, don't we? That period of trying to figure out exactly.
We do. But, you know, sometimes we can fall into some of the same traps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can treat Jesus as a really good figure from the past.
Good guy.
Good model, a good role model. But yes, Jesus is alive. And we relate to Jesus. We don't just remember Jesus. We relate with Jesus. We encounter him. And so, that creed is so important. And so as a leader in the Roman Empire, he was bringing a sense of unity, trying to focus everybody on that creed, that the council, the fathers of the church, came together, prayed. They prayed for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, worked it out. And that's the other reason why in the creed, words matter so important. We don't just substitute things because they sound nicer. Or sometimes people will talk about that word consubstantiation. And why can't we use something a little more relevant? Okay, give me another example of somebody who is God.
What's a synonym?
But to whom else can we compare Jesus Christ?
Yeah,
there
exactly.
Is, you know,
right.
So it is a matter of precision. So yes, this is an important day for in 395. In 1377, the papal see was transferred from Avignon in France back to Rome. Remember, the Pope fled and was in Avignon, and St. Catherine of Siena was one of the great voices.
She marched right to Avignon and said,
to the Pope, you belong.
Time to come back.
Come back. 1562, the French Protestants were recognized under the Edict of St. Germain. And 1931, James Earl Jones, the actor, the best God voice ever, was born in Mississippi. That's a far cry from 395, isn't it?
It is a far cry. And I don't think James Earl Jones is Catholic, but God is, and he's the best God voice.
And he's,
so that's why
that's
we threw
right.
that in
that
there.
That deep voice. Just...
That's right. That's surely how God
so,
sounds.
So yes, January 17th, I guess, is a pretty important day.
Pretty significant. Okay, you are listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, except today we are with Katie and Bishop Brennan, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus, in case you listening do not know who we're talking with this morning. But now we need to move to our Priest of the Week segment. We have Father Chris Yackel on the phone. Father Yackel, are you there?
Yes, hello. Good morning, Bishop Brennan and Katie. How are you doing?
We're doing well.
Very well. How are you today, Father Yackel?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Are you in the parking lot at St. Matthew right now?
I am in the parking lot at St. Matthew's watching people trickle into the church for daily mass and then the millennial conference to follow.
Well, we are going to, we're a little late in getting to you. I apologize. So we're going to talk to you and let you get in there. But we always play a game with our priest of the week.
All right.
And as it turns out, the goal is really not to get the highest points. The goal we're finding among our priests is just to beat Father Dan Dury.
Okay.
So
he's the competition.
I don't know why. He has, like, Father Jeff Rimmelsbach got 8 points, and no one tries to beat him. They just try to beat Father Dury with 6 points. So
that's hilarious.
Okay. So we just play for 1 minute. Here's how we play. I give you a category. And you have to name 3 things within that category. And Bishop Brennan is your judge. So, Bishop Brennan, if Father Yackel says something that you don't think fits in the category, you can just, you can give him a beep.
You know that Father Dury will tell me that it's rigged.
Yes, he will. Yeah, he does. That's why everyone wants to beat him. He's a big baby. Okay.
You said that, not I.
Right. Yes. And I would say it to his face. So I'm okay with that. Okay. Are you ready, Father Yackel?
I'm ready. I'll do my best.
You know, it's no pressure. We're not going to judge you.
All right.
Just
all
a
right.
little. Okay. Here we go. Nocturnal animals.
Oh, and I have to name them?
Yeah, you name 3.
Okay. Well, okay. Owls and... I don't know, I guess deer. I hit a deer in the middle of the night, like
okay, we'll
a couple
count
months
it.
Ago. So. So I would count them. And raccoons.
Okay. Things that come in dozens.
Eggs. The 12 apostles.
Oh, very good.
Good one. That's good points with the bishop there.
Donuts.
Yeah, there you go.
Donuts
good
and
job.
Bagels. Yeah.
Star Wars characters.
Oh, I hear Dury already. I hear Father Dury.
Star Wars characters.
This is funny. The first thing that came to mind is Mandalorian, because I know that's like the popular show right now with Star Wars, but Han Solo, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker.
Okay, there you named them. But man, you wasted a lot of time on that question, Father Yaakov.
I know.
Okay, you get 3 points, but because you are playing with the bishop, like that's a lot of pressure. So we're going to go ahead and give you 4 more points. So, oh my goodness, you beat Father Dury. Good job.
I will never hear the end of this.
Job.
Never, ever.
That's impressive. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Bishop Brennan so he can chat with you about where you are and what you're doing and all that good stuff.
All right, sounds great.
Great to be with you, Father Yaakov.
Thank you.
So tell me, I had the great privilege of ordaining you last spring, and you were put right to work, but not for us.
Right. Yeah, it's been a busy first several months of priesthood. So right after ordination, I spent that first month traveling around to visit my classmates for their ordination. And then I went off to Germany for most of July and into August to one of the Air Force bases to complete some of my chaplain candidate training as part of the Air Force Reserve program. So I was there helping out, which was a lot of fun. Super surreal for me, being a military brat and having gone to mass at base chapels all my life, and then to all of a sudden be on the base a month after being ordained and being the one celebrating the mass. So it was pretty cool.
I bet. And you encounter some, really, you serve a variety of families, really, on a base, right?
Right. Yeah.
Tell us about the needs of the families in a military base.
The needs of the family. Yeah, you know, I would say in a lot of ways they're very similar to the needs of families that you would find at any other parish. Obviously, there's some unique situations that come up with deployments and TDYs where our service members are sent to different bases or deployed overseas for various amounts of time. And, of course, that can be very trying for the family to be separated from their loved ones for so long. But really, a lot of it is similar to, I would say, what most families are experiencing elsewhere. The difference is they're on a military base, and one of their loved ones is serving in the military.
You know, I'm sure that many people here are very, very grateful for your service and the service of so many military chaplains, because our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters are all serving, and it's just comforting to know that somebody is out there bringing them the sacramental needs of the church. So we thank you, so many of us thank you for that great sacrifice on your part and that of so many of our military chaplains. You came back and you're working now in Perry County in one of our great consortiums.
Correct.
I had the chance to visit, to spend a weekend there, to see you in action. Tell me about your experience in Perry County, please.
It's been great. So we have St. Rose in New Lexington. We have St. Patrick in Junction City, Church of the Atonement in Crystal, and St. Bernard in Corning. And being there with our pastor, Father Mike Harchie, has been a great time. I've really enjoyed my time there, getting to know the people. I was just talking to some parishioners the other day, and I was like, wow, I've really only been here for like 4 or 5 months. So it's crazy that I've only been there for a short time. And so I'm really still kind of figuring things out and learning kind of the rhythm of parish life. But I really, really enjoyed getting to know the people there and kind of learning, as you've experienced, I'm sure, Bishop, traveling to the different parts of the diocese for confirmations.
That's right.
That every part of the diocese is a little bit different. So you get to know kind of the culture of each area, which has been a lot of fun.
It's beautiful country down over in Perry County, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh,
the drive-in, especially on 13,
yes.
Coming from 70, it's great. It's really great to be able to go through kind of those winding roads. I get a little bit nervous at night because
experience has taught you,
so
hasn't
windy,
it?
But it's really a beautiful area.
It is. So how was your first Christmas as a priest?
It was amazing. I loved it. Although, this is crazy. My second Mass is, I was celebrating Mass at Church of the Atonement, and about halfway through the Mass, I lost my voice. So that was kind of a bummer. I was trying to develop a little bit of a cold, and so it got to me right during the middle of the Mass.
But
thanks be to God, I made it the deacon went and grabbed me some water. I made it through that mass and the midnight mass as well. But it was beautiful. I really, really enjoyed celebrating my first Christmas as a priest.
Good. So today you're at the Millennial Church Conference as a millennial.
Yeah.
What's your thought on effectively evangelizing the millennial population in the last minute that we have?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here to see what we're going to be talking about. I think one of the videos that I was watching recently, it was Brandon Vaught and Bishop Barron talking about reaching out to the young people. And I think Bishop Barron was the one who had mentioned just kind of talking about making our parishes more missionary, having a missionary mindset. And so I'm really looking forward today because I think that's some of what we're going to talk about is kind of we know that we need to be more missionary, but
that's
maybe
it.
what are some of the specifics of how that looks at a parish level.
Well, you are a great young priest speaking to a great young population, and so we're so fortunate to have you. So glad to have you. Thanks for checking in with
us
today.
Great to talk to you, Father Yackel. Enjoy the day.
Thank you so much, Katie. I really appreciate it. It's been great talking to you this morning.
Take care.
God bless.
You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show. I'm Katie Wyatt, here this morning with Bishop Robert Brennan. We're going to take a break, so don't go away.
After a fight with my wife, I was complaining to God. Why does it always have to be about her? Can it be about me? And God spoke to me, not audibly, but in my heart, and with words I'll never forget. He said, "You have every right to make it all about you, to put your own needs first. You have every right to be average, to be ordinary, and not to become a saint." Suffice it to say, I retracted my prayer. And in retrospect, I think God wasn't only calling me to holiness, but to happiness. The days I wake up and say, "My wife is lacking these 5 traits of a perfect spouse, I should tell her," those aren't my best days. The days I wake up and ask myself how I can make her the happiest wife on earth, I end up being the happiest husband. Go figure. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." This is Chris Stefanik from reallifecatholic.com.
I was actually raised in the Catholic Church. Went to grade school through 6th grade, and pretty much about the time I went to high school, I stopped attending church and really didn't think much more about it for a number of years. The return to church, the Catholic Church, was somewhat of an evolution. I thought I knew what the Catholic Church believed and taught, but learned very quickly from somebody who knew far more about the Bible than I ever hoped to know. I learned that the Catholic Church, what it truly taught, and that's where I needed to be. I'm a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. Without God in my life, I'd probably be dead. God has literally saved my life. I feel like I'm truly on the road to the fulfillment of really all of my desires, which is ultimately to spend eternity in heaven with myself and my family.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
And we're back at the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. Today, however, we are with Bishop Brennan. Good morning again, Bishop.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone in St. Gabriel world.
Father Adam typically likes to tell us about the catechism.
Yes,
that's his thing. So we gave you this little task this morning.
And he referred me to the section on the church and told me to pick something out between 770 and 790. And I focused in toward the end on 790, the church as the body of Christ. You know, on Sunday, we are going to start reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And we're going to read from that for a while. Every year at the beginning of the year, we read from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he gives us that great image of the church as the body of Christ. And, of course, Christ is the head. But he says all of us have different functions and all of us have different things to contribute. And all of us are very important. But none of us can stand on our own. And Paul, I love this. Paul is a bit of a comedian, isn't he? He really is. So he says, the hand can't say to the rest of the body, "See you later, I'm going off on my own."
I've never thought of Paul as a comedian.
Read his
I always just think of him as someone who needs to use more punctuation.
No, he has some great images.
Okay,
but he says the hand can't say to the body, I'm going out on my own.
Yeah.
And it's only good connected to the body. And yet, you know, we also know we need all the different members of the body. But it's Christ who brings us together. And so today, you might hear people say, well, I'm spiritual. It's all about my relationship with God. Why do I need the church? Well, we need the church because that's how Jesus is pulling us together. It's Jesus, that's our connection to Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body. So in these next few weeks, as you listen to that second reading, you know, St. Paul was responding to, especially in the letter to the Corinthians, to different issues, different problems, different divisions, people who are fighting over who was more important or who, you know, I'm very important because I was baptized by Peter, you know. And Paul said, we're all baptized in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We're all baptized in the one Spirit. So keep that image of the body and mind and listen to St. Paul. And of course, it all leads to that beautiful passage in his letter to the Corinthians about love. You know? So I offer you that image of the church as the body of Christ. And if you want to read a little more about it, go to the Catechism and read paragraph number 787 through 791. And then you keep going. You can go beyond that. You'll see some very interesting images.
So there's your homework, listeners. The bishop has given you homework.
Does Father Adam give homework?
He doesn't give homework. No.
No.
But he should. He should. Yes,
I know. He gives traffic and weather. And all I can say is I think there's an incident going on in Gahanna right now.
An incident. And
an
it may
incident
be sprinkly
in Gahanna
today. There is quite an incident going
as
on.
The church has for the millennial conference.
All right, and today is the feast of St. Anthony of Egypt. Who is St. Anthony of Egypt?
Well, St. Anthony of Egypt also brings us back to the days of the Arian crisis. And Anthony's a great image for us, isn't he? He's really, in a sense, the father of the monastic movement. He took that serious of the gospel with the encounter of the rich young man with Jesus Christ. And I love reading the story of Anthony, especially in the office of readings for the day. He gave up almost everything to follow Jesus.
What
he gave up Anthony.
What
almost
did he not give up?
Well, here's the thing. He heard this call after the death of his parents. He had a younger sister. He heard this encounter with the rich young man. He says, I've got to do this. And then he said, but I keep a little reserve, take care of my sister, a little reserve for, you know, a little bit you might call, what do you say, a safety net?
Mm-hmm.
A safety net. Then he had another encounter where he heard the voice of the Lord saying from the gospel, do not worry about tomorrow. So he gave up everything. I love it. The two-step, right?
Yes, right.
He gave up almost everything. But then that encounter with the gospel pushed him over the edge. His sister was cared for by a group of religious sisters in a convent. He himself went off. You know, you didn't have the monastic movement that you have now or even that you had when that St. Benedict would have established. But he set up a rule. He set up the hard work. And he worked somewhat with St. Athanasius, who was the great hero of the Council of Nicaea, the great hero of fighting Arianism, again, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man.
Two things about that. Number one, two steps is probably the way most of us have
Isn't
to do
true?
This, right?
Yeah.
You give up almost everything.
Almost
and
everything.
Then that's
it's always
got to
be that
trust.
Safety net.
Yeah.
You know?
And
I'm
you
okay
say,
with
okay,
that.
Okay, I can go farther. Yeah. The other thing, did people think he was nuts? I mean, this was not a typical.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
Until they realized.
Even today, reading the story, sometimes by our own standards, I confess, I read that and I say, ooh,
that's
I don't know.
That's a little crazy.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah. And then tell us about our gospel today, Bishop Brennan.
The gospel today. Beautiful gospel taken from the Gospel of St. Mark. Now we get into the second chapter. If you read the first chapter of Mark's gospel, you see Jesus is very, very busy. He hits the ground running.
Like you every day.
He's here, there, and everywhere. So now, beginning of chapter 2, he's back in Capernaum. He's in a house. But again, everybody comes to teach. Everybody comes to listen. So much so, they're outside the door. We hear the story of a man who was paralyzed, who was brought in, and they couldn't get him through the crowd. So his friends actually climbed the roof Again, you talk about comedy, right, in the Bible.
Yeah, what a kerfuffle that must have been.
Right? And lowered him down through the roof so that he could be healed by Jesus.
Yeah.
We know very little about who this was, but I'll tell you this. He had some amazing friends.
I was thinking that this morning. Yes.
He had some amazing friends, and possibly friends who thought they were powerless, right? They looked at their friend and they said, I wish I could do something for you, and I can't. But what they did is they knew what they could do. They could bring him to Jesus. And they did it against all the odds and all the kerfuffle and everything else. And even if it meant climbing a roof, again, what a sight that must have been.
Right.
Climbing a roof with a man on a stretcher and then lowering it down. But they went through whatever it took to bring him to Jesus. And sometimes we, too, feel powerless, don't we? We feel powerless, especially about people we love. And we wish we could do more. But there really is only one thing we can do. And that happens to be the best thing.
Climb the roof.
Climb the roof. Bring people to Jesus. Yeah. Bring our love. Bring each other to Jesus.
Beautiful perspective. Yeah. Something else that struck me about this gospel is he's healed and he gets up and he walks away. He just walks away. Where does he go? Maybe to his mama. Look at me. Beautiful. Bring your friends. Bring your family.
Bring each other to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Because of the Millennial Conference today, we wanted to kind of focus on the Millennial Church, talk about the Millennial Church. It's a term that anyone who's listening is hearing over and over again. Who is this Millennial Church? Who are these people? Why is this demographic so important? Why is this such a crucial target audience, so to speak, for our church? So we wanted to talk to someone who's kind of in the trenches, working with this population, part of this population. So we have on the phone with us this morning, Lauren Manson of the Young Catholic Professionals. Lauren, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me, Katie.
Good morning. We're so glad to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Bishop.
Hi, Lauren. It's great to hear from you today. YCP,
you
one of my favorites. I love YCP.
Well, we love that you love it.
I was with Joe Zano yesterday.
Yes, and Joe was over at the Millennial Church Conference this morning. So I am doing the radio.
You are dividing and conquering this morning.
Yes,
it's so great to hear you. So YCP was part of my welcome to the Diocese of Columbus. They adopted me and they initiated me to the Short North, the North Market, and the area around Ohio State, right?
Yes, we showed Bishop around, and then we had ice cream together. It was awesome.
You showed him all the hip spots.
They did.
Hipster
they took me
spots.
To Jenny's.
Oh.
And I still get to ask, Jenny's the greatest.
Are you going to weigh in on this? Are you no better than...
I know better. All I'm going to say is that I have no interest in cottage cheese flavored ice cream at Jenny's.
All right. I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and I am with you.
So, Lauren, even though I've known a lot because of all of you, tell us all about YCP, about Young Catholic Professionals.
Yes. So Young Catholic Professionals, we're the Columbus chapter. So we launched in October of 2018. So we've been going for about a year, and we're part of a larger Young Catholic Professionals that's nationwide, and the 21st chapter is actually opening in Louisville next month. So there are a lot of Young Catholic Professional chapters across the nation in different cities. It's in a lot of larger cities, and we are serving young Catholic adults in the Catholic Church in their 20s and 30s. So that millennial demographic that y'all have been talking about all morning.
And you are young Catholic professionals serving young Catholic professionals. Right?
We have a leadership team of young Catholic professionals, all volunteer here in Columbus that plans events and keeps everything running. And then we also have a lot of great supporters that are young professionals and then seasoned professionals as well that serve on our board and act as speakers, mentors, et cetera. So we have a lot of hands on deck. I've been truly honored to work with YCP, and I have been amazed at how well it's done in the last year. I was listening in a little bit before I joined, and the do not worry about tomorrow just really hit home, because when we started this, we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. And there have been many moments where we're like, okay, we need to just not worry about tomorrow. We're going to worry about today, and God will provide, and He has. And this group has grown and flourished.
You really have. I'm so proud. It's amazing. You know, the first time I heard about Young Catholic Professionals was really from Bishop Perez up in Cleveland. And I was still back on Long Island. He would say, you've got to see this amazing group, Young Catholic Professionals. He spoke about the local chapter, but they were hosting the national conference that year. And it wasn't long after that I found out I was coming here, and you had just established a few months before the chapter here. And by the time I got to meet the whole group, I met some of you in the spring, but by the time I met you in the whole group in July, you have more than 100 people at every gathering, don't you?
We do. We have over 100 people at events, we're over a year, so that's awesome. We're the largest young adult group in Columbus.
Yep.
And, you know, people, we saw a need, and we opened up the group, and it's definitely confirmed that we did the right thing, because I think everyone felt this need, that they needed a group of faith-based, group of community, like-minded individuals to spend time with and support them in their faith. So it is. Over 100 people at events. God be praised.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. You're right, though. It's easy to feel isolated in your faith, especially in the world, in the professional world, in the secular world. And yet, when you have that strength that comes from walking together with other people who share your faith and your hope, it can be inspiring. But also, now as young Catholic professionals, you're out there transforming the world. You're bringing the gospel into the professional world. We're not just sitting in churches, but you're out in the world setting the world on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and we, that was part of our mission, is to, you know, not only help support those individuals that are within the Catholic Church, but also be evangelizers. And, you know, a lot of us don't work for Catholic organizations, so we're working in non-Catholic environments and trying to be a Catholic in this non-Catholic world, and spreading the gospel and the love of Christ. And we do. We open up our group to anyone that wishes to attend.
Yep.
We are Catholic, and we refuse to water down the faith, but all are welcome. And we've had Protestants and Muslims and definitely different religions at our event. So it's great. It's really great. It's bringing people together.
And it's a whole range of activities that you do. So you have some fun. You have happy hour or socialization. And then you have some very serious speakers and topics and prayer.
Yeah. So we have our monthly executive speaker series. And like you said, sometimes it's a heavy topic. We've had, someone from the FBI talking human trafficking, and Father from St. Patrick's.
Father Thomas Blau.
Yes. Father Blau from St. Patrick's just spoke on angels and demons earlier this week. And so then we also have our quarterly happy hours, where it's more social. And then in Advent and Lent, we have our retreats. And then, of course, we also have some fun events. So we've done trivia and wine tasting. And I have to put in a little plug for, we have a casino night gala planned for March 14th. So it's a variety of fun and faith and social and career building all in one.
Lauren, how might somebody who's not currently involved in Young Catholic Professionals get involved? What are the requirements? Can they just show up at events, or do they contact you in advance?
Yeah, so no, you can definitely show up. If you can, RSVP on Facebook. The vast majority of our events are free. So we serve wine and beer and appetizers at most of our events. And they can just show up at the door as well. Now the gala is a big event, so you do have to buy a ticket for that event. But all of our standard events, the monthly speaker, the happy hour, and then the retreats are all free to anyone who wishes to attend. And they can find all the information on our events and activities on our website, which is ycpcolumbus.org. And then we're also on social media because we're all millennials.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Wonderful. Lauren, I look forward to gathering with all of you again very, very soon. But I appreciate you calling in today. We really needed to hear about YCP
yes.
on this Millennial Day.
Absolutely.
Such an important part of the millennial culture. And thank you for being such great witnesses, credible witnesses, joyful, credible witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Serra Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to serracolumbus.org. That's serracolumbus.org.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
The Sunday Mass that has been celebrated in Polish at Holy Family Church on the third Sunday of each month is moving to Columbus Sacred Heart Church, 893 Hamlet Street, effective Sunday, January 19th. The time for the Mass will be 1 p.m., 1 hour earlier than at Holy Family. The Central Ohio Chapter of the Catholic Medical Association will host an event on February 13th at St. Brendan Church, 4475 Dublin Road. A video presentation, Selfless Self-Preservation, The Paradoxical Duty of Resilience, will be shown. It's from 8 until 9:30 p.m. with a three-quarter hour credit available. For more information, call 614-769-5150 or visit the website cmacbus.com. On Monday, January 20th at 6 p.m. at the Covello Center at St. Charles Prep School, 2010 East Broad Street in Columbus, they'll have a Cardinal Madness Night for 5th to 8th grade boys, which includes programs about the school, building tours, and a buffet.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
So, why does the kind of music I listen to matter?
As Bob Dylan says in his song, "It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding," he not being busy born is busy dying. And essentially that's true for our Catholic life as well. Every choice we make brings us closer or further from God. This includes our choice of music. Remember that music as an art form reflects the artist and connects with listeners because they identify with it. And although we all can identify with sin, deep down inside, we identify with the truth and the light of Christ even more. This doesn't mean that we can only listen to Gregorian chant. Remember, the very fact that we can sing or play music is a glorious gift from the Lord, which means we only have to start being careful when the music we listen to contradicts God and exalts things which can only identify with our sinful nature, things like drugs, lust, and anger. And when in doubt about a song, just ask yourself, what would Jesus listen to? For more, YouTube.com/YoungCatholic.
And we're back. This is the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and normally Father Adam. Today, however, my co-host is Bishop Robert Brennan. He was telling us earlier in the hour how Father Adam guilted him into co-hosting today because of that unfortunate incident when he stood us up when he was in Rome. I wish you could have seen us. We were scrambling, weren't we?
I can imagine. Oh man.
It was funny actually. But here you are.
But somehow or another, I figure you and Father Adam found something to talk about.
Can you imagine? We did. Especially Father Adam. He extended the catechism minute. So, all right, let's look ahead a little bit. We're going to be talking here in just a couple of minutes to Michelle Fanley. As you may know, listeners, we're kind of in the middle of the online registration drive for the men's and women's conferences that are coming up. So before we talk to Michelle, let's kind of wrap up and look at the week ahead. Bishop Brennan, what do you have coming up this week?
You know, I had no idea. I had to pull out my calendar, and I live from moment to moment. So tomorrow I'll be at the Josephinum. We We'll be celebrating the initiation to candidacy for some of our seminarians. It's one of the steps along the way, the path toward ordination. And so I'm looking forward to being with the Josephinum tomorrow. I'll be in a couple of parishes over the weekend, and I'm looking forward to those visits. Of course, next week we have the Respect Life Mass at the Cathedral, and we have the and then the March for Life. So I'll be down in Washington on Friday. And so
what are your duties at the March for Life? What, how do you spend the time there?
Well, you know, right now it's just trying to be with as many of our people as possible. So the St. Francis de Sales group had invited me, so I'll be going to the events that they're going to. So there's an event for young people on Thursday night.
At George Mason University?
And then I'll be, yes and with
awesome.
Them for Mass the next morning. And then we'll go to the mall where I'm going to try to be visiting the different groups we're here. Now, you know, St. Gabriel's Radio will be broadcasting the Mass for Life from the cathedral here on the actual anniversary of Roe v. Wade on the 22nd.
Oh, nice.
So
okay.
I think that's around 10:30 or so in the morning. Yeah, 10:30 in the morning.
So many life events going on next
week. On this week, indeed.
Yes, yeah.
And then I'm excited because next Saturday I'll be celebrating the Mass of Our Lady of Altagracia, which is Dominican Republic feast, a Dominican feast, and
To go to the Dominican Republic to celebrate that Mass?
No, but I have a couple of friends from the Dominican Republic coming up to visit me that weekend just by chance. So when I was in Rockville Center, we had a big Dominican population, so that was always a big celebration for us. So, and that, you talk about millennials, that's really a group of young people, some of them from YCP, as a matter of fact.
Where are you celebrating that Mass?
At Parroquia Santa Cruz, which is the Church of the Holy Name, mm-hmm. and that's on Saturday evening. And so I'm hoping that we'll have a lot of young people at that.
Your life is fun.
It is fun. I'll be celebrating Feast of St. Agnes, another great patron of mine. So we've got a lot of good things coming up in the next week.
Awesome. All right. And then next week on our show, our priest of the week is Father Jim Black. He's at St. Joan of Arc in Powell. And then our featured guest, because next Friday is the Feast of St. Francis de Sales.
Right.
So we're going to have Dan Garrick, who is the principal at St. Francis de Sales, come in and be our guest for the week. So... And Father Adam will be back. He and I guess we're going to reconcile our differences and be back together on the air next week. So
you hear that, everybody? You're going to get better quality traffic and weather next week.
I don't know. You were pretty strong. Your traffic and weather game was strong today, Bishop. So Father Adam, he's going to need to, we're going to need to provide like some background music or sound effects or something to enhance his traffic and weather. Okay. So at this point, we want to shift to our third guest of the day. We don't normally have three guests. This is a big day here.
We have big things coming around here. Big things going on in this diocese.
We do, definitely. Namely, the Catholic Women's Conference and the Catholic Men's Conference. And we're in the middle of an online registration drive here on St. Gabriel Radio. So, Michelle Fanley, welcome.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been great to listen to. I've been in my office tuning in, so it's an awesome show.
Great. Thank you. You're not new to this.
No, this is my 13th conference.
How many?
Of 13.
Yeah.
So I was asked by Christina Klein back 13 years ago if I was interested in helping with the women's conference. And I always say I thought I was going to be, you know, passing out donuts and bagels at breakfast. And the next thing I knew was the secretary of the board, and the following year became the co-chair. So I've been honored to be part of this amazing team of women from across the diocese putting on the largest Catholic women's conference in the United States.
In the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's phenomenal.
See, you have to be careful how good you are at what you do, because the better you are at things, the deeper you get into them, right?
Yes,
people rope you in.
It is such a joy. I can honestly say the women that I have met by being part of the Women's Conference team have changed my life. And I have met women that I would not normally have met because they're in a parish in Chillicothe or in a parish at St. Joan of Arc. Or I've got women on my team from all over the diocese and are really amazing faith-filled women that have inspired me to grow deeper in my faith. So,
and that's what happens every year, over and over again, at both the conferences. It's just this renewal, or even for some people, an initial spark of their faith that they've never experienced before. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think my favorite part of every conference is walking into morning Mass with the bishop, and you see all these women worshiping together. And I say it's like a microcosm of heaven, yeah. right? Like this is what it's going to yeah. be like. All of us together, sisters, and in heaven will be brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping God together.
So you're here as a representative of both the men's conference and the women's conference.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
So throughout the day, you'll get to hear representatives of both the men's and women's conference all through the weekend. The women's conference is February 15th this year, and the men's conference is February 22nd. So we do them back to back. We're strong supporters of each other because we know we need faith-filled women and faith-filled men to make our families strong in today's world. And we are just so honored and blessed to be able to have this amazing event, the support of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Each year, the conferences are full-day events. We have Mass. We have speakers. We have international speakers, nationally known speakers. Bishop Brennan is going to be with us all day. I heard a rumor he's even hearing confessions. I thought, oh, I might get a little nervous if I sit down for a confession and the bishop's sitting in front of me. But how awesome is that? We have Eucharistic Adoration and Holy Hour. We have musical talent. Sarah Hart is coming in. She's originally from Lancaster, Ohio, but now lives in Tennessee. So we're just having amazing lineup of people coming in to inspire you in your faith. We also have a huge vending area where we have exhibitors from all different areas of our diocese, different things that you can become involved in, pro-life organizations, our Catholic social services. We have also great shopping for women because we know women like to shop, but ways to inspire your faith, Catholic books, Catholic devotionals, rosaries, crucifixes, things to help you bring into your home.
I can also say you'll have pilgrimage travel represented there.
Yes, you are
coming. I'll be there.
So
yes.
If you want to go on a pilgrimage. So we've tried to give you opportunities. Our theme is Amazing Grace. And we know that God is always pouring these graces out to us, but we have to be tuned into them, right? We have to receive them from God. So we want men and women to have these opportunities to grow in their Catholic faith and be excited about it and realize this is a day to celebrate being Catholic. It is awesome to be Catholic. We have an amazing faith, and there's so many brothers and sisters in our diocese that are on fire for our faith that we want you to feel that fire and to bring that back to your parish and then do something.
Okay, so say I'm someone who I'm not really involved at church. I don't do the conference thing. She must be talking to someone else. Clearly, she's not talking to me. What do you say to that person who's listening with that mindset?
You know what? This day is for everyone. And every year we have people who are not Catholic that come, people who are not going to church or have been away from the church for many years. And I can't tell you how many emails and phone calls we get that tell us this day was so amazing. I will never miss a women's conference again. So it's a really a beautiful day, and the same for the men's conference. This is an inviting event. This is a time to experience your faith with your brothers and sisters, and do not be afraid. Don't be afraid if you've been away from the church, if you've been away from the sacraments. This is your invitation back.
And Bishop Brennan, you haven't experienced the Columbus Catholic Men or Women's Conference.
You know, it's
yet.
Funny. I was announced on January 31st last year, and so everybody was telling me about the Catholic Men's Conference and the Catholic Women's Conference. They were reaching out, why don't you come? But I wasn't really arriving until March.
Right,
I had to lay low, but I'm really looking forward to my first men's conference and women's conference. This is going to be big.
And you're roped in big time. You're a speaker this year at the men's conference,
I am.
So we wasted no time
getting you plugged right in. And Sarah Hart, I know Sarah Hart. I don't think she would remember me, but she was out on Long Island for something. I know, and I'm a big fan of Sarah Hart. I was glad to see her listed as one of the speakers. I'm a big fan of her music. And I heard her on the radio this morning. I had no idea she was from Lancaster.
Yeah, lots of good things happening in Lancaster.
Yes, indeed.
Will you
say Lancaster?
Lancaster.
Right.
Lancaster. That's right. Well, you say Worcestershire.
I'm learning how to speak Ohioan.
Worcestershire. Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Yeah. Okay, we digress. Michelle. Real quickly, how do I register for the Catholic Women's Conference or the Catholic Men's Conference?
StGabrielRadio.com, and we are still offering a discounted tickets, $5 off every ticket through Monday. So now's the time to ask a friend. Buy an extra ticket, just put guest of your name and invite a friend. This is a great opportunity to invite someone, a sister, a brother, invite someone, buy a ticket for your husband for the men's conference. If you're a woman, if you're a man, buy a ticket for your wife and say, here's a gift for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us and for sharing all that information. And women, I have to say, if you like fashion, you think you don't want to go to the conference, but you like a cute t-shirt, you should register. The t-shirts are awesome. Michelle's wearing hers right now and it's adorable. So, all right, we are going to have Bishop Brennan conclude with a prayer, and then we're going to move into a clip from Jason Everett, who is one of the speakers at the men's conference this year. So, Bishop Brennan, will you please close us in prayer?
Very happily. And, you know, if I had to be guilted into coming here, and I didn't have to be guilted, I'm so excited to be here on a day where so many big things are going on, because that's the life of this diocese. So we give thanks to the Lord.
You are welcome back anytime. We loved having you. You're a
joy. I'm having fun. Great. I'm having fun. Great. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Friday Morning Show. I'm Katie Wyatt. I've been joined this morning by Bishop Robert Brennan. As Father Adam always says, peace and all good.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus and FM 88.3 WSGR New Boston, Portsmouth.